This Ridiculous Podcast. My name is DK Diamantes. His name is Bricky. And we are going to be delving into the grim darkness of 40K. But before we do, if you enjoyed today's episode and maybe you want to support the podcast, head over to patreon.com/AdeptusRidiculous, where you can get access to the Discord, bloopers if they happen. The $15 tier gets you access to all of our posters in creamy HD digital format. And yeah, it's good. patreon.com/AdeptusRidiculous. Bricky, talk to the people.
Hello, people. I have great news. We will be doing next week is or actually the end of this week, we have a Detective Ridiculous, but next week will be the book club, confirmed next weekend. So make sure you finish up Lion, Son of the Forest, and get that all done. And if you'd like to check out our lovely merchandise at orchidate.com, pick up one of the fantastic Arsenal of Angels mats, shirt, or poster, or any of our other lovely little guy merch, like the Little Lord, which will be quite topical for today, as well as the Little Siege, etc., etc. Check it out. Find some great stuff for you to wear around the house in these cold months, or prepare yourself for spring. So check it out at orchidate.com. Link in the description.
Are we doing Necron stuff today?
Yes, sir. I spoiled it.
Nice.
Unfortunate.
We do appreciate a little Necron supremacy here.
We do. So we did this, I believe, with the NIDS episode, and we probably could do this again with the other two. But I thought it'd be kind of fun because I picked up the Necron Codex, the 10th edition Codex.
Ooh.
And like, hey, you know, maybe I'll go ahead and give it a little bit of a chat. We'll talk about some of the artwork, some lore tidbits they've added. Like with most of the newest codexes, they are, well, they're lighter than before.
Oh.
Little sad about that, honestly.
They got cut down to size a little bit. The cover looks great, though.
Cover's good.
I like it.
I don't know what GW is smoking, because they've been doing this thing where, like, remember before we were like, oh my god, they're using the exact same images in the 9th Codex cover as the 10th Codex cover?
Oh, yeah. Wait, is this also reused?
No, it's not, and that's why I'm so confused.
Oh, so, well, why? Whatever. Like you said, who knows what they're smoking over there?
No, it's strangeness. The Codex cover looks good. I think it lacks a little bit of something.
I guess with like the Necrons, I would expect more of like instead of just like one Necron, I would expect like a metal army just sort of like looming, like a bunch of like glowing green eyes or something. But yeah, I mean, it still looks good.
So I was on the Poor Hammer podcast a bit ago when I started doing their merchandise. Shout out to the two of them. Great podcast.
Let's go.
And we did the video was on 9th edition Codex artwork. And one of the things that we discussed, I don't know, Shy, if you could pull up a 9th edition one, is that one of the really interesting and enjoyable aspects of Necrons that they've been pushing a bit more in the new lore is their degradation.
Okay.
The personal insanity of them all.
Right.
And not just in the actual decrepit soldiery, but the nobles being a little crazy.
Their mental state being not great because they've been asleep for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years.
And that there's the old Codex cover. It really goes into that like decrepit arising legions of the undead vibe. Where you see like that middle one's jaw is just like literally falling apart.
Yeah, and they literally look like they're rusting almost. Like with the color choices they use, it looks like it's like rusty and decrepit. Like you said, like they literally just woke up after like a century. Whereas like the Codex one is just like, oh look, I'm very shiny still, and I'm very glorious. I like the second one for the Necrons actually. They're very rarely. At least I haven't seen too much art of them looking that decrepit without being like a friggin' What are the fleshy ones called? The flesh, the flayed, flayers?
Flayed ones.
Flayed ones. There we go.
I think that's the difference, is that the newest one kind of goes more with a Necron nobility, whereas the old one kind of does this old style. I think they need like a mixture. They needed the big Necron noble to be like up above on a dais, ushering his legions of zombies, basically. I think that would have been a little bit of a nice combo, you know?
Oh, that'd be great. The nobility looking all shiny and new, but all of his soldiers and those under him are all like decrepit and rusty. And ooh, yeah, that would go hard. But yeah, I would expect like there to be like a vast army on the cover of the Necron Codex.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure what they're planning on. Like the Tyranid one was the same as last year, and so was the Admech one, but the Space Marine one was different, but it was still like an artwork that was used in a different promotion, so it's kind of the same. I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah,
anywho,
weird. CW.
For the most part, the book is still lighter on lore than I would have liked. I really do think that they need to figure out the hell they want to do with these codexes. Because they're trying
standard for them instead of just kind of like winging it each time.
These are much lighter than the old codexes, but people buy codexes for their rules. But at the same time, everyone's using the app anyway. So I feel like you almost should go harder into the lore and the artwork to kind of make up for it. But
yeah,
that's a personal opinion. I don't know the. You know,
it would give added
incentive
to actually buy the codex instead of just like, you know, like you said, if everybody uses the app for rules, like, you know,
this is off topic, but I gotta at least make the statement. I really think that you should be able to purchase digital rules for your app at like a really discounted cost. Like, hey, you want your codex for the app? It's $5. Now you can see it everywhere you go. It's totally fine. And if you want to buy the codex itself, it's nothing but a chock full amount of beautiful artwork, great, great lore, and also includes the $5 thing in case you want it.
I feel like that is totally justifiable. And like, I feel like they should really like lean into like the art and the lore, and like the rules are just like they're in there, and like there's a little QR code and you just scan it and it pops up on your app or something. And yeah.
I mean, like you keep the something like that. But anyway, yeah. So the lore is a bit light, but I do enjoy the beginning of this entire codex, which is a pretty interesting battle scene involving an overlord called Overlord Omnok. He's a Necron noble, and he's just kind of on this planet fighting off some Eldar. Mm-hmm. He's 1v1ing a striking scorpion, which are the ones that have the big, tall, green helmets.
Yeah. Which is pretty impressive if you're 1v1ing an Eldar.
Well, he's a Necron overlord. He's actually he's like trouncing them, if I'm being honest. he's barely even trying. He gets cut a few times and his face just like re-puts itself back together.
Yeah, what does he care? He's got living metal necrodermis, so.
He's trying to learn something from this fight, and when he realizes he can't anymore, he just slams his staff down and a force of energy breaks the Eldar sword and impales it into its neck.
Wow!
just like, oh, okay, alright, show off.
Damn. Nothing left to learn. All right, cool. Damn.
What's really interesting, though, is that it says he watched as the creature's tall helmed helmet followed a parabola that long buried neural systems of his mind recognized. And then for a short period of time, they put this thing in italics that says the overlord is disoriented, et cetera, et cetera. The battle is larger, more vibrant than a moment ago, but of course it is. He knows where he is. He is back in the war in heaven. The present fades as he relives memory shards laid down in ages, forgotten by the galaxy. And then after this little mental part skips, he kind of goes back and he says he was irked or he had a hollow feeling something untoward had happened as he cast the creature down. He was irked that he could not identify it. There was a discontinuity in his chronosense. But an interrogation of his pristine memory engrams revealed nothing of the nature had occurred.
Ooh.
So he kind of had this like memory lapse.
Yeah, and he thought he was way back.
And it's interesting because this actually happens multiple times in this short little blurb where it says, "He, of course it is. He knows where he is. He's back in the war in heaven." And then it says he was irked that he could not identify it. There was a discontinuity in his chronosense, like identical text.
Damn.
So he's this overlord and he's this major, major guy, but he has this memory that shoots him back to the war in heaven a few times. And then he's like, huh, that's weird. But my timer is totally fine. That's strange. Whatever. I'll keep going. And then he repeats that exact same cycle over and over again.
Damn. Is that kind of like what happens in Twice Dead King, where he kind of like shoots himself back into the past to like try and learn something?
A little different. That's like a what was it called? It was like a specific thing he had.
Yeah, it was a specific thing that he could use to his. Yeah, it was definitely a MacGuffin. It was like a ghost in the machine type of thing, right? But it seems similar anyway.
I think it's more showing off of this pristine, powerful Necron noble is still insane. He's clearly not all there, despite how strong he is. Yeah. And so he has this constant like lapse in his memory.
I guess that's most Necrons, though, right? Despite how powerful they are, they all have something a little kooky, crazy wrong with their head.
Oh, besides like the Silent King, but
that's different.
It's a neat thing that like even their highest nobility just has this mental problem where he has almost like a dementia style relapse, not quite the same as like Xandrek, for example, but it was a neat little story.
Yeah.
I did like because as he was surveying the battle, there was a Catan shard fighting for him way across the way, and it was actually cool how they wrote this. It was a Eldari burned, and the Catan shard's cosmic flames were melded in mass into screaming fleshy forms, or picked up and unraveled into atoms midair.
Wow! Wow, that is a lot.
This visual brought him back again, and it's like the red light flooding the snow and ice streams from millions of miles above the world's surface. It is no star, he realizes, but one of the new gods, the Catan. Pinpricks of light the Overlord knows to be Eldar ships are swallowed by the being's power. Under the being's gaze, the planet's moon shivers, imploding in continent-sized fragments, swallowing the Eldar and Necron there.
Whoa.
So he came back to remember like a full-size Catan just like...
obliterating
at
a moon.
Just eating Eldar ships alive and obliterating moons. And it's like, oh, great.
Oh, my God.
Just a little snippet of what the Catan were really like back when.
Yeah, that's a hell of a visual. Oh, my
God. it was a fun little story. Kind of shows that concept a good amount.
Yeah.
Damn. So there's a couple really cool bits of artwork I would like to show you.
You're not allowed. Sorry, you got to keep it to yourself.
Why are you the way that you are?
I don't know. My mom asked me that all the time too, and I.
Okay. Well,
show me the art, dude. Jeez.
At least we're on the same page. All right. So,
how are you surprised about these features about me?
There's some pretty neat little artwork pieces in it so far. There's this really awesome one of these night sights flying between these just monumental Necron constructs.
Yeah, where are they exactly? Like, what's above them and below? Like, is that what is that?
That's probably a tomb world.
Okay.
Probably the underground bits of a tomb world.
Damn. All right, because I was like, are they flying out of like it almost kind of looks like a, surely you've seen Independence Day, right?
It looks exactly like the Independence Day thing, yeah.
Right, and they're flying out of it, must go faster, and it's closing and everything, and yeah, that's what I initially thought.
So the other night, artwork is from 9th edition, I wasn't aware of that, but it has the old like grungy style. Yeah, it's like the scarabs are re-knitting that Necron on the ground.
And it's such a different look to like the Necrons too, because they look like really humanoid. Like it almost looks like War of the Worlds now to me.
There's this other neat piece of artwork that is new. I love this one to death. There's a couple awesome bits of this. For one, you've got the golden armored, it's golden blue, so I'm assuming it's Nihilak. The Nihilak dynasty there. I can't tell if they're fighting each other or not.
It kind of looks that way, because there's that one guy that's like, you know, on his, he's like crawling away on his butt, and he's kind of like really like scared looking. And then I'm not sure if they're like, what they're doing to that poor bastard in front that's like screaming, but he does look like he's having a good time. But I don't know if they're just harvesting or if they're like, you know, torturing him or whatever, but damn, that picture goes hard.
There's, so it's hard to see because I took the picture kind of poorly because the lighting, but the guy on the bottom right is actually like yanking something out of another Necron, not the one that has the giant jaw dislocation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like you said, with the lighting, it kind of looked like that's who he was pulling it out of. Okay.
But can I point to the most baller part of this entire artwork, which is the gigantic canoptic structure in the background with the overlord on a dais on top of it. It's like he's riding a gigantic like sand caterpillar or something.
Yeah, with his throne on top. That is really dope. You are not mistaken. That is indeed one of the best parts about it, yeah.
So, like, as you can see, you got some cryptex on the left-hand side there, because the cryptex have the one eye. And he's got like a res orb in his hand, and there's the golded one on the right. And so because they're gold, you know, the ones are silver, I kind of wonders if they're actually like fighting or not, or if it's just like a nice little piece of artwork there. But
if it's a fight, that's a very one-sided fight. And those silver guys have literally no chance.
Well, the scarab on the back might be their silver guys. So we'll see.
True. Yeah.
Anyway, so they talk. So in the codex, they talk about a lot of stuff. The first pages are often the same as we normally do. It's a lot of like, hey, by the way, the Necrons were originally like flesh and blood, and then they made a deal, and then the war in heaven, and yada yada.
Overview of the Necrons and how they became Necrons. Yeah,
they do have a cute little blurb here. The Val Ghul era, the Bone Kingdom, talking about Drazak and the Flayed Ones.
Love the Flayed Ones. Love the Flayed Ones.
Because this is where Ultix and his boys went. So they got a little Ultix blurb here. Gotta love it.
Just put a little asterisk at the bottom. Says, read Twice Dead King for more information. Buy it at the blah, blah, blah.
Then take another QR code.
Yeah, more QR codes. Hell yeah.
But they talk a lot about the Pariah Nexus, which I think is a really fascinating bit that they're leaning a bit more into lately.
Like the show, right? Pariah Nexus?
Like the show. That is the name of the show. I think, I mean, the show doesn't really...
Haven't seen it. Don't know anything about it. I just know it's called the Pariah Nexus, and some people think it's really great.
I think it's pretty. I don't think it has a lot of substance, but it looks very pretty.
Shrug.
It's a shrug for me, but it does look very pretty.
Cool.
The Pariah Nexus, though, we've probably talked about it a bit.
Have we? It sounds familiar, but I wasn't sure if it sounded familiar because of the Shrug show or because we had talked about it in one of our, I guess we've done a few Necron episodes.
So, do you remember what Blackstone is?
I remember it's like the material that they're after. I don't remember what makes it Blackstone. I remember there were Blackstone fortresses, and weren't they harvesting it in one of the books for...
I think we talked about it in the Belisarius book, but it's also your main currency in the Mechanicus video game. Blackstone is also known as Noctolith. Basically, yes, so the Blackstone Fortress is part of it. It is a Necron-style geological thing that they've used, or they've had the ability to utilize to, like, a magnet for the warp. So Basically, you can, if you polarize Blackstone in a certain way, you can either repel or attract the Empyrean.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I didn't remember what Blackstone was for. I had remembered the instances we like the Blackstone Fortress, obviously, but yeah, I didn't realize it was like a warp magnet.
Now, clearly, Necrons, out of all of their immense power, their biggest weakness is warp power, because they don't have any.
Yeah.
Anything that utilizes the warp is actually a pretty huge danger to them. And so what they've been doing a lot lately is they've been polarizing these Blackstone into pylons and stuff and creating what is essentially null fields of the warp.
Oh. Like fields where you can't use the Immaterium, or you can't use the warp, or the warp can't be gotten.
Like, if you polarize a giant Blackstone pylon, for example, which I think are what the Cadian pylons were at the time.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right.
It will help slowly close and push away the Imperium as a whole. And so, properly.
Right. And then when they broke, that's why the. Gotcha.
Right. Yeah, they held the Eye of Terror back.
And that's why it just ripped open.
And so, naturally, the Necrons, especially the Silent King, he's pretty apt on pushing more of these pylons out. So you use them in a certain like method and way, and you can take areas of space and just kind of cut it off from the Imperium. So it doesn't like fully cut it off. It never fully does. But basically, if you were to sail it through the warp and you were to enter an area like this, it would just look like there's just nothing. It's like this cut off of zero.
Yeah, that's pretty big. Especially if you're like the Necrons and you can't use the warp, you don't really understand the warp. That's big.
Yeah, and flying blind in it is a terrible idea for the most part.
Yeah.
You can, but you goddamn is it hard and very difficult for yourself and your soul.
Would a navigator just like go crazy if you were just like, oh yeah, we're flying through the warp, or would they like see that big like void and be like, yeah, maybe steer the other way?
So what it basically is, it's a null field. They say it's like looking at a giant mirror where once you get to it, it just kind of ends. Like reality just ceases to exist for the most part. I don't know. It, in a sense, it'd be like a fog wall in a Souls game. Like you just kind of walk up to the wall and you're just like, I don't know what's behind this. It's just here. Like,
gotcha. So it's not something that you would just like, oh no, we accidentally flew through this. Like you would see, you would know that there was this big abnormal thing coming and just be like, all right, let's maybe not go in there.
But it also does do all the things you'd expect with an area of no warp presence. For the most part, it's actually pretty brutal, but a lot of the people in the Pariah Nexus, as it expands, just like their souls just kind of die because there's no warp anymore.
Oh, right. Because that's where the soul goes when. Oh, yeah. That sucks.
Right, so right here, for example, this blurb says, living beings within the Pariah Nexus find themselves afflicted with a numbing despair that worsens over time until they slip into a fugue state and thence into irreversible soul death. This fate leaves their physical forms mindless yet still alive, the perfect vessels for experimentation into the reversal of biotransference. You just kind of give up.
Yeah. Like,
just stop.
Jeez, I like how they become the perfect experiments for the reversal of what happened to the Necrons. That is such a Necron thing to think. Like, oh, hey, these bodies that are just totally devoid and numb of anything. Let's experiment on them. Maybe we can, you know, biotransference ourselves into them. And it's, oh boy, that is a very Necron point of view.
We never did talk about Necron Pariahs, Shy. I think that's because they've been, for the most part, slightly retconned.
Ew.
Necron Pariahs were a weird-ass warrior that was a combo of Necrons and the Pariah Blank gene of humans.
Oh, so it was like human and Necron?
It was basically Necrons turning human blanks into Necrons.
Oh.
They're not around anymore. These were back in third edition.
And wow. That was a while ago.
They were also in the first Dawn of War game in like 2004 or whatever that came out.
Wow. All right.
So it's been some time.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. Oh, they had minis?
They had tiny back in like third edition, yeah.
Oh, I don't love those minis, but whatever.
They're pretty bad.
It was a long time ago, to be fair. It was a while ago.
These were kind of retconned out for a couple of reasons. Yeah, one, they were anti-warp unit. That was their whole concept. And yeah, Blackstone just works better now. And two, blanks are so gosh darn hard to find, even in human culture, that getting one for Necrons to make into armies is kind of insane.
Yeah, with how rare they are for humans, yeah, Necrons getting a hold of that many. Like, four of them is like, hey, look, here's how many we found in the last 1,000 years.
Yeah, so basically they just kind of moved into this Blackstone thing instead.
Fair enough.
But anywho, the Pariah Nexus is expanding quite a bit. Ooh, yeah, I forgot that is a cool piece of art of them. Actually, I gotta find
Wow, that is those are all blanks.
There we go. There's a dope image in new ones this time in the book that shows them collecting humans, and it's pretty morbid looking.
Oh. Yeah, that's a little. Yep, that's. Yeah, that. Again, that gives me War of the Worlds vibes.
I mean, the Necrons really have a lot of War of the Worlds between, like, their tripod constructs and just the kind of the nature of them. Yeah, they're totally World of the War, War of the Worlds.
Yeah. Well, the new one, not like the old one with the. What is it? Vrata Nyctu or whatever? Or is that War of the Worlds? Or is that. What? No, that's the day the Earth stood still. Sorry.
The big like human robot thing.
Yeah. I was sorry. I was getting my alien movies mixed up. Sorry.
Was the new Day of the Earth Stood Still good? I watched it and I don't remember if I liked it or not.
I guess was that Tom Cruise also?
No, that's the War of the Worlds remake.
Well, wasn't the Day of the Earth Stood Still one? Wasn't that also Tom Cruise in the remake of?
No,
wasn't he in both of them?
No. Day of the Earth.
I don't. I feel like he might have been in
2008 film.
Both of them.
No, it's Keanu Reeves.
Oh no. You're okay. Fine. You're right. Oh man.
Keanu Reeves, Jennifer Connelly. Oh my goodness.
Jennifer Connelly. Man.
Also, oh yeah, another human collecting image of Necrons.
Oh boy, that is that is an image and a half.
Yeah. Sheesh.
Yeah, yep.
There's actually an interesting little tidbit here, which is the techno savants and the various dynasties that have been going about into different spots and collecting more and more organic matter in an attempt to recreate the Necron tier, which is naturally a fruitless effort because they don't even know what they look like.
Yeah, that's kind of tough. Sure.
Which kind of goes into their madness. Like Illuminor Zeraz has a good portion in this book, and he himself wants to ascend himself to become a god, but the idea of a soul to create a soul just always eludes him. And it's kind of like this never-ending thing where he'll never truly know it. He'll never truly be able to get it, but it doesn't stop him from trying because to science a soul just doesn't really work.
Yeah, good luck. That's that Full Metal Alchemist stuff, man. Anime reference.
Is that where the dad turns someone into a dog?
Oh, yeah, dad turns he fuses his daughter and his dog because he needs to keep his government funding. Otherwise, he won't be able to live anymore. The very beginning of like Full Metal Alchemist is the two main characters trying to like get their mother's dead soul back into her body, and it turns out terribly because she just comes back and it's like a failed alchemy thing, and she's just like, kill me.
Oh, so it's some like Pet Cemetery kind of.
Never saw Pet Cemetery, actually.
Oh, well, they try to bring the dead back, but the dead comes back wrong. So
yeah, basically. And yeah, and then
so it's that classic stuff.
Yeah, and he has to sacrifice his arm and his leg because he accidentally killed his brother, so he soul binds his brother to armor, and that's why he got the big suit of armor in Full Metal Alchemist.
Jesus Christ, this is like the show everyone tells me I should watch, even if I don't like anime. And this sounds dark as shit. Maybe I will like it.
Oh yeah, it's super dark. It's old. Well, I don't want to say ultra, but yeah, it's dark. Full Metal Alchemist is dark. Also, watch Brotherhood.
Okay.
Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is the better version. Sorry, everybody.
Would you like to read the blurb that Shy posted?
Yes. I think recent additions to lore give Necrons a better motivation, because previously it was kind of implied that they want to go back to being fleshy, but never why. But now as GW goes deeper into Necron suffering from their robot brain slowly falling apart in dementia and psychosis, it kind of gives the whole thing urgency.
That's
true. I like the idea that they're like, whoa, we are really starting to fall apart, and we really, like, we gotta move. Otherwise, who knows how long these weird old brains of ours are gonna last.
It's a bit of a strange dynamic they have, because there's a whole part on the Silent King that I'm about to get to, and this is probably the biggest lore dump in the whole book. It's actually quite a lore dump too. It's kind of insane. The motivation for going back to flesh and blood is a difficult one, because some Necrons don't give a shit because they're immortal and they're power hungry nobility assholes.
Fair enough.
So they just want to keep, like, to them, they've already succeeded. So yeah. Some people, like Trazen and Orokin, discussed in Infinite Divine, they talk about the, like, of course we want to go back to our old souls, but they don't really know why they want to do it, besides just that they should.
Yeah, that's true.
But at the same time, yeah, like, Shy makes a good point. Not everyone has that issue. Obviously, the Silent King is perfect in every method of the word. He will never become ailed by any mental problems. But
how
not
nice
everyone
it must
is like
to
him.
Be the Silent King. Yeah. How nice it must be to be the Silent King.
Outside of the 60 million years of guilt.
Oh, yeah. I guess that does kind of suck. Sure. Yeah.
But
hey, he saw the Nids coming and he warned everybody.
So, right. So that, okay. So let's talk about that. The Silent King, obviously, we know as who made all the bad decisions and screwed everything up.
Yeah, a little bit.
There is, okay, well first, two things. One, this artwork right here is super awesome. Just really looking. Just like this cool floating dais and the nobility up there. It's just neat.
I mean, the dais is nice, but I kind of just love just like what this Necron world looks like. Like, it just looks so, like, with all the like red in the background and then the foreground being like kind of like silver and green. And I like that.
So, then you got like the Silent King little blurb here, which is really fun. He just looks awesome. This right here, though, is the biggest like holy shit moment of the whole book. I hate that it's covered like this, but
whoa, that is damn.
So
that's a spread.
This entails the Silent King's journey. But it's told in a really interesting perspective. For the most part, Necron stuff is told either through the perspective of the Imperium or the Eldari, because those are the people who know the Necrons well.
Sure, sure.
Or just, you know, additional viewers. This is like an insane drop, and it's kind of crazy. So, first things first, the centerpiece is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the first ever real depictions of what a Necron tier looked like.
Oh, really?
Now, this is clearly a mask.
obviously. It's clear, like a death mask?
Possibly, like you got like a horn thing on the top, and then like you could see how the pieces come together.
Yeah. But
it looks like a visage created from the original Necron tier.
Oh.
Which, damn. So we're still not seeing what they look like, obviously, but this appears to be that.
The best depiction you've got.
Right. A genuine depiction of the old Necron tier, which. Makes sense, you know, they kind of have, like, the long chin.
Yeah, and they look like fleshy versions of what the Necrons are.
Right.
Like, but if you put flesh over a Necron, that's what it would look like.
But in addition to that, you also have all of those other little circle-y blurbs throughout it, which depict the Silent King himself pre-biotransference.
Oh, now, wait, really?
I'm pretty positive. If you look at it, he has a helmet on, and he has, like, his ceremonial garb, but he's not metal. You know?
Now, for some reason, now when I think of the Necron, I'm like, they're, like, walking Necron tier armor, like, because that's what the armor they'd wear would look like.
So, Shia, that's a good point. I was curious about that, too. I don't think that's not him holding his own corpse in his hands, because if I remember from Twice
Day
King...
That'd be kind of wild if it was. That'd be a hell of an image.
If I remember from Twice Day King correctly, their souls are eaten by the gods, and they are just, like, turned into ash, basically.
Ooh, yeah. Kind of hard to hold your own corpse if it's... Yeah.
They look a little feminine, if I'm being honest. I think this is pre-biotransference, and he's wearing, like, his ceremonial armor/garb.
Yeah.
And because he doesn't look like the Silent King. Like, in none of these photos does he look like the Silent King, because the Silent King does not, like we know what he looks like. He looks like a Necron, and none of these are Necrons. This is obviously pre-biotransference.
He looks like a Necron. Wow. Inspirational.
Really, Silent King looks really like a bigger than normal Necron. It's not like really Mortarian.
Just really painting the picture for us.
Oh,
guys,
you shush.
The Silent King, if you didn't know, he looks like a Necron.
Philip Banks kicked the man's butt. Anyway, it's obviously pre-biotransference.
Yeah.
And we know the Necrons as living very short, painful lives, and it could be like a wife or like a daughter or someone.
True. Yeah.
That, you know, genuine. Yeah, well, Shia is right. Some people got pissed off that the Silent King is just a bigger Necron, but that's what he is. He's just a bigger Necron.
People got mad that the Silent King was just like a bigger Necron?
They expected a, like...
Oh, like something that was, like, super special. Like, he is the predominant Necron. He should look special. He should look unique. He shouldn't look like a Necron. He should look like the super
Angron.
Specialist. Right. Yeah. Got you.
But, no, I mean, I think it fits him. He's just the best Necron possible, and he's just a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Necron perfection.
I like it a lot. Personally, I like his look, but regardless, this is all clearly pre-biotransference images of their old ceremonial garb, which is just like such an insane lore drop to just put in this codex. Like this is actually
huge.
It's huge to have these visuals. It's gigantic
to have like pre-biotransference Silent King is massive.
And, like, we still don't know what they look like. We have a better idea, and we see, like, his crown and stuff, but we don't really know him.
Yeah.
What's even crazier,
though... I like to believe
that's
his death mask, and that's what he looks like.
That's a fine thing. I mean, if you look a little bit closer on the image, you can see that it's not just the three helmets. It's literally a body.
Yeah.
Like you can see the neck and everything.
Yeah, it kind of looks like the, what is it? Is it Ashura that has the many faces, the deity?
Oh, like the Oni thing with like the three twisting heads?
Yeah.
So I think it's actually more made to represent the Triarch, because the Triarch is always
three. Yeah, that's fair.
And, you know, the Silent King and his mini, he has his two other members of the Triarch right there with him.
That seems logical. That seems, yep. That's, yeah, I think you're right.
Well, because the Triarch was always the ruling class, the Necrons. The Silent King is currently the final Triarch. That's his whole shtick.
Yeah.
With those other people. But what's absolutely crazy is that there, the little blurbs of text on this detail the Silent King's time and effort. But what's even, like, it's interesting because it's not told from the perspective of the Imperium. It seems like it's told from the perspective of the Necrons or even himself as a third-person viewer. But it also uses interesting terminology. For example, it's not the War in Heaven. It's the War of Aeons, which maybe assumes, because the War in Heaven is what the Eldari call it.
Yeah.
So he calls it the War of Eons or Aeon. I don't know if A-E-O-N. That's Eon or Aeon, or if they both just work.
I think they both work.
All right, fair enough.
I'm going to say they both work. I'd probably try and pronounce it Aeon, but whatever.
But so he also refers to time and aspects of Necron lore as mantles of existence. So it says, as the first mantle of existence fell away, did Zarek bring immortal order to the warring dynasties of his people, ushering them into the second mantle. It was the offer of the gods that Zarek accepted, but it was their power that he took with it, smote the gods into splintered ruin. So the first mantle of existence was like the initial part of the Necrons, and the second one was taking of the turning into Necrons and the War of Eons.
Huh. That's cool.
What's particularly interesting is the third mantle of existence, which is when he exiled himself.
Okay.
But it says here, wars with the celestial realms beyond the galaxy did Zarek wage in the third mantle of existence as his people slept soundly, safeguarded from harm by the Silent King's unsleeping wrath. Barbarous empires did he trample in the utter dark, uncivilized realms of horror and madness did he soothe. They trample in the utter dark. Uncivilized realms of horror and madness did he soothe. Tribute undreamt did he win. Glory and wealth and honor were his. Thus did Zarek triumph to claim territories beyond the stars, preparing a new inheritance for his people, one to be gifted at the end of all mantles.
Sheesh.
So... To translate that,
all right, that's a mouthful.
It is. It assumes that he didn't just atone for himself in the darkness between galaxies, but he went to other galaxies to conquer and enslave, to create a place for the Necron tier as they slept soundly, and to protect them from invaders.
Okay, he's a good king. Silent King's a good king. He's a good guy, except for the whole, you know, dominating galaxies and stuff. You know,
it's something that like might not seem like a big deal, but it's actually a lot of a bigger deal than it might seem, because no one ever talks about outside the Milky Way. The only thing we know anything about is that the Tyranids probably came from there.
Yeah.
So the idea that Zarek went out into other galaxies, Andromeda and so on, and subjugated them to create safe zones so that nothing from there could head to the Milky Way and cause his people harm, and also destroy barbarous other, like him alone went out to secure land for his people outside of where they slumbered, is
kind of crazy. That didn't quite register at first, but he conquered other galaxies so that nothing would happen to the Necrons in the Milky Way. Like, he just went to other galaxies and was like, you know what? Y'all are done. Y'all might be a threat to my sleeping babies. I'm just gonna trounce you.
Which I guess would make sense that he couldn't handle the Tyranid one because he's alone.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. He's got his ship, the Song of Oblivion.
That's great.
it's such a name. he himself can take over solar systems by himself, but clearly the Tyranid threat is too much for him, which
But that's crazy that he was subjugating galaxies?
Or at least subjugating barbarous possible issues, upstarts, etc. in other galaxies that could prove a threat.
Which, I mean, hey, that probably works out pretty well for humanity, because, hey, any threats that were in that galaxy, thanks, you know?
Try to work on the Tyranids. Shai makes a good point, too, that the writing is purposely made in style of myths, ancient myths of the king.
Ah, yeah.
So, for example, here, as the fourth mantle of existence dawned and his people began to awake, was Zarek already amongst them, though his works and passage they marked not. Humble and honest were his deeds, yet had his people known of them, praise and riches would they have showered upon him. The sleep of his people had been troubled by the gnawing of vermin and the last curse of the gods. That's Glendigal, the Flayer virus. And Zarek mourned the loss and the change deeply, for none loved his people more than the Silent King.
Damn.
So, a little bit of that going on.
Yeah, a little bit. Definitely sort of that ancient human civilization myth, yeah, for sure.
He talks about the, and you could, you know, like, you can see in the images above, the hands reaching out to the stars. Mm-hmm. Definitely. You could see that as either the Necrons reaching out to the Catan and Old Ones, or you could see it as the people reaching out back for their king's return.
Yeah. God, that spread of that Silent King looks so dope, though. As I'm scrolling back up, looking at all the, God, that looks so cool. Oh my God.
It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
Especially as he returns and he talks about how the purity of the eternal realm is at hand, except pretender vermin seek to undo the just good of what the king has accomplished.
Pretender vermin. Sheesh. Damn. That is some smack talk, man. Jeez.
It's some interesting stuff, because it's clear that the Silent King wants to return people to flesh and blood, but it's almost not his primary goal. It appears that his primary goal is just the absolute subjugation of the galaxy. The Necrons are the only acceptable race.
Yeah, he wants to make sure that the Necrons wake up, and it's like, it's just for us, everybody. It's just all Necrons.
I gotta do two things. One, I gotta post this image because it always gets me.
Of course, sure. What a chat.
And now I gotta find the other. I gotta find the other meme, which the one that Shai sent way back when. This, which is the Who Started Racism.
The Necrons.
Yes,
of course.
I can't find it right now, but I love that one.
The Necrons. What? No. What? No way.
The king racism begins with the Silent King.
Yeah. Oh, Necrons, you quirky silver boys.
Oh, I found it.
Did you? Did you? Can you post it before Shai? Oh, you did. Hey, well done. Good job. I'm proud of you. But yeah, totally. The Necron started racism. Absolutely. I mean, it's 100%. Yep.
So it's a fascinating little thing here. Talk like the idea that Zarek was out in other galaxies, stopping upstarts or creating areas to allow them to survive once they wake up, is just not something that we ever really experienced in Warhammer. We don't ever leave the Milky Way. In fact, the whole point of the Tyranids is that it's the fear from outside the stars.
The other galaxies, yeah. Above, below, and from the sides.
But at the same time, this also has such a mythical fairy tale style to it that it could just be Zarek sucking himself off.
It could. You're right. It could. He really just found a bunch of empty planets and stuff, and he's like, boy, it sure would be a good legend if I was just like, pew, pew, you know?
Right. So it's a fascinating in between. And Shy is correct. Well, Shy, you're not quite correct. I mean, the old ones were technically the first.
But... Yeah, technically the old ones, but they're not around to tell their story anymore, so
But I find it fascinating. There's also a little extra bit that I definitely should not go uncovered, which is the Technomandrites. I'm not sure if Shy remembers the Technomandrites. They are from an older series of lore on Warhammer, but they are basically a group of uber powerful Cryptex that got a little too silly with their doomsday weapons.
Okay.
And so the Silent King put them all in jail.
Okay. They got a little too silly. Gotta put them in timeout because they got a little too silly.
Remember the Celestial Orrery that blows up stars?
Yeah, at the push of a button.
Pretty positive. Okay, so for one, I feel like GW should retcon that because
they
it's a
little really
much.
Should. Yeah, definitely.
But the Technomandrites were absolutely the ones who created this stuff. They are some of the most insane Technomancers and Cryptex out there. The Silent King put them in jail.
Yeah. Yeah, the Celestial Orrery, a little silly.
They got a little silly.
Not a lot of silly, just a little silly.
In jail for being too silly.
Too silly.
Actually, I'm going to look that up. Can I find the in jail for being too silly meme?
Oh, that's a meme?
Oh, here it is. I got it.
I didn't realize that was actually a meme. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, that's adorable, though. That poor little kitty's in jail for being a little too silly.
Yeah, well, this cat's in air jail for being too silly.
Good old air jail, yep.
But despite all, the Silent King has pardoned a few of them and let them out because to help with possible issues, one of them being the reversal of biotransference, but also, you know, just
the NIDS.
There's actually a funny story about one of the Necron dynasties that are collecting never-ending amounts of humans, Eldar, orcs, and so on in order to work on getting themselves back. But the Nids have smelt that biomass, and they're like, oh, damn!
A feast!
Let's go, boys!
All you can eat buffet! Let's go, hometown buffet, baby!
So, for the most part, also, I guess we shouldn't not mention these two of them. The final Triarch also has Hapthatra the Radiant and Mesophet of the Shadowed Hand. They wield the Staff of Stars and the Scythe of Dust, as well as the Silent
Light
King.
And dark, beginning and end. Okay. I like
and he
it.
Has the Scepter of Eternal Glory.
Oh, wow. A little full of yourself, but all right.
Yeah, you know, the Silent King may be a guilty man, but he does not stop himself when it comes to levels of personal grandeur.
I was going to say, he's got a little vanity to him, just a little vanity, but that's okay. He's good king. Good king deserves good things, you know? It's good to be the king.
I mean, out of all of the main figures in 40K... He is not the most powerful, like, physically. Angron would be like,
can opener his ass, yeah.
He's not, like, arm wrestling people, but he might be outside of, I mean, the Emperor is dead, kind of, but not really. One of, if not the most powerful figure in Warhammer currently. And I know it's like, that's a massive Necron sucking off right now.
We do enjoy Necron supremacy here.
We do enjoy a little bit of, we get a little silly.
We do get a little silly. We do enjoy the silliness.
The power of his form and his ship, the strength of the armies he wields, and just like the absolute perfect artifice that is his like form.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically one of, if not the strongest playing single character in the galaxy right now.
Dang.
The only people that I think could give him a run for his money are
Big E.
Well, Big E, it's hard because Big E is like not really a person.
Well, pre-heresy Big E.
Yeah, like pre-heresy Big E, obviously. I feel like, you know, like right now Abaddon controls some pretty crazy forces, but
that's true, that's fair. Current like also, Abaddon, yeah, yeah.
But also like yes, but also like no, because chaos is chaos. So
yeah, yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about that Silent King from Magic the Gathering image. I don't like.
So don't you like looking it. At that now is how everyone else saw the Silent King when his model was revealed, just like a big Necron.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I was thinking like, you know, I guess I kind of get it now because he just looks kind of plain. Like he just, you know, like, you know.
Yeah, he just.
He
just
looks like a Necron.
He looks like just a regular plain old Necron.
He looks like a Necron.
How dare
and now
he?
Now I'm mad about it. I get it now, everybody. I get it.
I'm so upset.
I get it. Why does he look like a Necron? How the turns have tabled.
But obviously, you know, it always comes down to yeah. how they're depicted and mm-hmm. visually, et cetera.
Yeah, et cetera. Yeah.
But for the most part, as I mentioned, there isn't a whole lot of extra lore surrounding it. But that's the big one.
What
the Silent King has been up to and just where, like, the possibility that he has not just been doing this whole thing, but having a depiction of pre-biotransference Necron garb, the death mask of Necrons themselves, Necron Tier, yeah, and that's... where he's been out and about is kind of insane to just drop like that.
Yeah,
and
that's pretty really... big. That's pretty big. I like that. That's cool. This definitely deserved an episode for sure.
It was fun. And yeah. The next episode will be a pretty big one to go along with everything. So to keep on, track.
I don't know if I know what big events are left to talk about. Have I heard of it before?
Yeah, you've heard of it before. You've heard of it before.
Okay.
I didn't say it was going to be an event.
Oh, that's right. It's just big. It's just something big. I was thinking like, you know, Bad Ab War big, you know, but.
I didn't say multi-part episode. I
okay.
I said a big thing.
So we're doing Thousand Suns.
That would be a big thing.
That'd be a big thing.
It would be. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're not. Maybe I just changed the topic because you guessed it.
Ooh, that would be silly. That would be very silly of you.
I'm going to go to jail for being too silly.
Air jail for being too silly.
Hear that? That's me trying to break out of the bars. I know you want to end it right there, but I refuse. Goodbye, everyone.